up, everybody? How's it going? This is the Red Dirt Road Podcast. Talking about some of the Man in Black today. Johnny Cash, the redemption of an American icon. A film released in December of 2022. Only in theaters for 3 days. And I luckily was reminded about it. I heard about it a while earlier and was reminded and was able to go see it. I jotted down some notes, 7 bullet points I jotted down when I was at the theater watching the film, and we're going to go over those 7 bullet points that I have about this film. I got some facts about Johnny Cash that correspond to each of these bullet points, and then I'm going to give my thoughts on the film when it's all said and done. So, first bullet point. Johnny Cash's upbringing. Now, he was born as J.R. Cash in Kingsland, Arkansas, in February of 1932 to Carrie and Ray Cash. Now, some of these things I knew, some of them I didn't know, but I'm just going to say pretty much everything and just kind of give an overview. Now, Ray Cash had a big impact on Johnny's life, or JR's life, and his personality, as we see in the film. Now, he did not physically abuse his children, according to Johnny Cash. However, he never said that he loved them. He's a hardworking man. They all worked hard on the farm. They lived in Dyess, Arkansas for much of his upbringing, working in the cotton fields, and they were singing while the family worked. His song, 5 Feet High and Rising, was written later about the flood on their farm over this period of time. He had 3 older siblings and 3 younger siblings, including Tommy, who became a successful country music singer in his own right. You might have heard Tiny Cash. He's still alive. There was a song, I think it's called 6 Horses, something like that, that is actually a pretty good song. This brings me to my next bullet point, the death of his older brother, Jack. Now, Jack was cut nearly in half by an unguarded table saw at work, very badly, almost cut in half. They were pretty young. Jack was a little bit older than Johnny. I think he might have been in his teen years, 15. So obviously, you know, much different than today's day and age with the safety and things of that, especially with kids. So his family urged him to not go to work that day, but he insisted on going because they needed the money. This was understandably a traumatic, awful experience that Johnny Cash endured. And really, I believe this was probably had to be one of the biggest negative impacts in his life. I mean, to have your brother die like that. He actually, I don't know if I said this correctly, he did not die the day that he was cut. He died, I think it was a couple days later on his deathbed at home. And Jack also said to his family members that he could hear the angels. My next point here is Johnny Cash joined the Air Force in July of 1950. After basic training, he was stationed in West Germany, where he worked as a Morse code operator. During this time, he created his first band, the Landsberg Barbarians. He was honorably discharged in July of 1954. Bullet point number, 4? Bullet point number 4. He married Vivian Liberto. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly. You may not have known that. Now, I knew that Johnny Cash was married before June Carter, but I did not know a whole lot about this woman. She's really not brought up a whole lot. I mean, no one seems to mention her, and you kind of understand why. She was basically a homemaker. I mean, she took care of their kids. They had 4 daughters together, most notably Roseanne Cash, who you might know, is a country folk Americana artist herself. But they met in the early 50s while Cash was still in the Air Force basic training in San Antonio, Texas, at a roller skating rink. Very much a 50s vibe right there. They married in August of 1954, just one month after his discharge from the Air Force. In 1961, they moved into a hilltop home in Casita Springs, California. Sounds very fancy. Never heard of Casita Springs. Little fun fact here. This was not mentioned in the film, but his parents, he had them move to the area to run, quote, the Johnny Cash Trailer Park. Very interesting that his parents were helping run a trailer park, the Johnny Cash Trailer Park. I've never heard of that before. How interesting it would have been for some people to live there. And his drinking led to several run-ins with local law enforcement. This brings me to my next bullet point, and which is, really, this is kind of in the film where things start to take the next turn. You know, I mean, I think that you're heading down this path of some negative things, right? You have the death of Jack Cash is really the first big one. But this next one is the downward spiral of drug addiction. In 1966, Vivian filed for divorce due to Cash's severe drug and alcohol abuse, his constant touring, and his repeated acts of adultery with other women. After the divorce, the daughters were raised by Vivian. Now, clearly, you can see in the film, and you can probably guess that they were mostly raised, even before the divorce, by Vivian, but basically, Johnny Cash was not much in their life after the divorce. In the film, Cash mentions how someone on the tour convinced him to take prescription medications to keep going during the concert. And he thought that they couldn't be bad for him since they were over the counter, to which he was obviously very wrong. And we understand about the side effects. You know, these drugs are not, you know, these over-the-counter medications are not really to be just taken all the time just because they're, you know, something that you can legally get. You know, I mean, you can take too many ibuprofens and you know, they're not things that you should be taking large quantities of. And this part of the film, they've kind of hid that pretty well too. I didn't really realize that drug addiction was that big of an impact on his life, because his career really stayed afloat throughout it. I mean, you know, he was kind of affected on the tours and the concerts, but really his music, you know, kept going at a pretty good pace there. He used stimulants to stay awake during tours. The substance abuse, namely alcohol, cocaine, and prescription drugs, took him into a downward spiral that nearly took his life. Now, this did not end here, but I am going to jump to my next bullet point because it sort of ties in and just goes into the next part of the film, which is that Johnny Cash falls in love with June Carter. They met each other when Cash was on tour with the Carter family, and they instantly became infatuated with each other. Johnny and June's close relationship in part led to his first divorce. In 1968, Johnny proposed during a live performance in Ontario, Canada. They married in Franklin, Kentucky in March of 1968. So it must have been early that year that he proposed. Wow, very quick turnaround. That's pretty wild. It must have been, I'm guessing it must have been a pretty simple wedding, having only a few months to plan that thing. This is all based on Wikipedia too, so hopefully that's correct. I'm not really sure how you would find this information without Wikipedia, because yeah, I'm definitely not reading a whole bunch of different books just for one podcast on this film. So, you know, they had only one child together, which I did not realize, John Carter Cash, born in March of 1970. John has several appearances in the film. And really, you guys probably know about John Carter Cash. He is an adult at this point. I think he's in his 50s, I want to say. And he's helped put together several, or at least one project of Johnny Cash's material. I know there was one released a year ago, 2 years ago, something like that, of a bunch of songs that Johnny Cash had written. And he had other artists kind of singing Johnny's songs that he had only written. So John's been a big part of this of his career in the past. June had two previous marriages, with one with country singer Carl Smith and one with Edwin Rip Nix. Each resulted in one child. They were married and continued to tour and create music until June's death in May of 2003. And this is the part of the film that's sort of the, really, I would say, sort of the climax of the film, I guess you can say, is he is, I'm not sure what year this is. This must have been, I don't even really know what year this is. In the 60s? This got to be either late 60s or, well, I don't know if this was after his child was born. Probably early 70s, I would have to say. And he basically has this property in Chattanooga. And there's this cave on the property, which they say the name of the cave in the film. And it's kind of weird, because why does your cave on the property have a name? That seemed kind of strange. Like, typically, if there's a piece of property that a cave has a name, you know, that would be maybe like a government property, a public park or something. But for some reason, this cave on his property, it had some kind of name. I forget what it was, but he basically he's at its ends with this drug addiction. He goes into this dark cave. He's got a lantern. And he lays down, and I think he just says some things to God, and he falls asleep. He wakes up the next day and really just becomes a dedicated Christian. He gets baptized later on in the film, and faith really becomes a big part of the film from that point on, especially. And he then goes to June Carter. He goes to the Cash family and says, I'm turning things around. I'm turning my life around. He's not getting into drugs and alcohol like he did before. And that was really the turning point. Last bullet point here, so keep in mind, this is probably early 1970s. At that point, the film, you know, if you're wanting to hear about kind of primetime Johnny Cash, which is a lot of times in the 70s, right? I mean, he's releasing music then. He's touring, very popular in the 70s. In the 80s, you had the Highwaymen. Nah, they pretty much, you know, they skipped through that pretty quickly, which it is kind of weird. The film oddly makes his career seem kind of short, especially after this cave incident, which is like not true. But it gets to like the 90s, and, you know, he was kind of becoming a little bit older in the 90s and didn't really, you know, have, he was kind of changing his music a little bit. He had the American Remains albums. But last bullet point here is Hurt. And this is the Nine Inch Nails song Hurt, which was written by the lead singer Trent Reznor. The original version was the final track off of Downward Spiral, which is a great name for this tie-in, because that's actually one of my bullet points that I mentioned earlier. It was released in March of 1994. The music video for that released in February of 95. But Johnny Cash's version, he heard the song, he wanted to cover it, and his version was recorded in 2002 and was released in November of 2002 for his album American for The Man Comes Around. Now, this song is widely recognized as one of Cash's finest songs. Trent Reznor heard the song and pretty much immediately was like taken aback by it. Like, wow, this is a different interpretation of the song. You know, the original song is kind of about self-harm and really a depressing song about drug addiction, which is, I mean, it's kind of nuts how this ties into Johnny Cash's early years because of all that. But because of where Cash was in his life at that point, you know, being so close to passing away, he ended up passing away in 2003, him and June Carter, that the song kind of turned into a song about the ending of his life, you know, and showing it shows some fruit in the music video, and that shows a decaying, shows his life through the years. And it's really a sad, beautiful song and music video that is just, I mean, it really is incredible. It's an incredible song, and it's eerie. It's extremely eerie that both June and Johnny passed away that same year, that the music video was filmed in 2003 in February. Johnny Cash would have been 71. They passed away later that year. And the single was actually awarded Single of the Year by CMAs in 2003. So my final thoughts on this song, I think it is very faith-based. Skipped over much of the details of Cash's music and career, which is understandable because it's hard to pack everything from Johnny Cash's life into one documentary. Overall, I think it's worth watching if you are a Johnny Cash fan. But other than that, I'm not sure if it's really worth it. Now, you don't have to be a diehard Cash fan, but if you consider yourself a Cash fan, I would say go ahead and watch it. It's not my favorite documentary. You know, I'd say maybe 5 out of 10. Like I said, this doesn't really tie in a whole lot to other artists. You know, I mean, I don't even think they had some people giving interviews. I don't think Willie Nelson is even in here. Like, what the hell? How do you not have Willie Nelson in this film, who's still alive? I think he's 88, 89, something like that. Chris Christopherson, the Highwayman, get them on there. So for that, I'll give it like 5 out of 10. worth the watch if you're a Cash fan, but other than that, it's a pass for me. I think the other Johnny Cash documentary that we watched or that we reviewed on here was more interesting, I would say, more of a learning some things I'd never heard about before. Really, I think the best thing about the film was going back and seeing his old home and having one of his sisters there talking, because that was the only part of it that really had new film, new footage, and you had a narrator there. A lot of the rest of it was kind of just like a documentary, which is not really something you probably pay to go see in the theater. It's not a whole lot of new footage, so that was probably the best part of it.